Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Never do today what you might do tomorrow or the next day or whenever you get around to it. That may not sound quite right to you unless you're a procrastinator. Sometimes that wait until the last minute attitude can get you in a whole mess of trouble. But so many of us are used to this bad habit, even if we want to change it. Well, if you want to change it, we have a little advice for you from Eric Twiggs. He is author of the book, The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. Lines are open. If you have a comment or question about procrastination, are you a procrastinator, or perhaps you have procrastinators in your life that just get on your last good nerve? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can, of course, tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Harold. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be on your show here today.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. What's wrong with folks? Why can't they just get her done? When they get the assignment, when a wife tells her husband, honey, can you do this? And a week later, it's just not done. What is the problem?
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you look at procrastination on the surface, you just think that the person's lazy. But there's a combination of reasons. If you really peel back the onion, there's a lot of things. It could be something as simple as they just don't want to do the task. It's task aversion. It's something they want to avoid. Or there could be some deep psychological things. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing I run into with procrastination and procrastinators is fear.
Really? Fear of what?
Fear is a leading cause of procrastination. A lot of times it's fear of failure, fear of success, fear of being criticized, fear of the unknown.
But, and I can understand that if there is perhaps a task at work or project that may have a deadline. You know, the boss gives you a project and says, this needs to be complete in 30 days. But if this is part of the honey-do list, take out the trash, baby. Are you afraid to take out the trash? Fear of failure? Is it the same thing?
Well, no. So in that instance, it's something that people don't desire doing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I work with people on is to combine some of the tasks you don't like to do with things you like to do. Like, I'll give you an example personally. That's a honey-do list of mine. Mm-hmm. Take out the trash. My wife is listening, so she'll appreciate this. But one of the things I'll do, I'll listen to enjoyable music. I'll listen to an audio book while I'm doing that task. And that, you know, combining a task that you don't really like to do with something that you do like is one of the ways to overcome procrastination.
Is procrastination always a bad thing?
Well, it's bad if you're procrastinating on something that's a priority for you, because you can't do everything, right? And sometimes we confuse prudence with procrastination.
What do you mean by that?
So sometimes it's good to wait, do your research. Sometimes it's not the season for you to move into something.
Hmm.
But other times, you know there's something you need to be doing, there's something that you should be doing, and you're not just taking action. That's when it's bad.
Mm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about procrastination. Are you a procrastinator? Is it bothering you? Is it bothering others? If you have a comment or a question about that, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to get a lot of phone calls on this one, I can tell you right now.
They won't be procrastinating.
Yeah, they won't be procrastinating about that. Sandra calling from Herndon, Virginia. Sandra, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was just listening to the gentleman. I don't think fear is one of mine. But I do think that sometimes I just don't want to do it, like you said. And then sometimes I can be lazy, trying to get into an exercise routine. Okay, well, tomorrow, let me try it tomorrow because the day is raining outside or it's just, you know, all the way to, doing laundry while the football game is on. I'm just going to watch every commercial, go and move the laundry closer and closer to the washing machine. And it's just, you know, like if I have a report to do and I'm like, okay, I got the whole week to do it, I'm good. And then Thursday comes, I'm like, oh, dang, you know. All right, listen, just get up and just start on the computer. Turn the computer on and then just put some information in. And then I don't know if it's
Sandra, is this a problem for you? I mean, does this bother you?
Yes, I think prioritizing some things is a problem for me. And just focusing.
Okay, let's see what Eric has to say about that. Thanks for your phone call. Eric, go right ahead.
Yeah, I think prioritization is critical. So a lot of times people say, oh, Eric, you know, I've got so many things to do. From my experience, it's not so much of having too much to do. It's really not knowing what to do next. So if you have a project that's due, let's say it's due in 3 weeks, a good thing to do is to time block. So schedule specific times when you're going to do it, right? So you get your kitchen timer out, you set up 30 minutes, you eliminate distractions, and during that time, you're only going to focus on that particular task at hand.
But do some people work better under pressure when we're talking about work or career-related tasks?
It's possible, but you really have to be careful for that. Because people always say, Eric, you know, I work better under pressure. I call that justification for procrastination. The problem is if you're doing something that, especially if it's creative, it's not going to be as good if you wait until the last minute. So it's important to get started. And sometimes we underestimate the value of a small step.
Right. Like what?
Like, so you think that, you know, if you're starting on a project, a small step could be going to Google to get information. A small step could be calling someone with a question. And what you find out is, see, here's what happens. A lot of times a task appears to be intimidating, right?
Yes.
So when it is an intimidating task, the easiest thing to do is nothing. Like, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. But if you take a small step, then you find out, oh, this is more manageable than I thought it was. And before you know it, you're done.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about procrastination. Are you a procrastinator? Does it bother you? Do you not have a problem with it? Perhaps somebody else has a problem with it. This may be particularly important for those people who are waiting on engagement rings and somebody is procrastinating. That may be another show. But anyway, let me go to Greg. Greg calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
You too.
Hey, I'm calling because, so I used to be a procrastinator, and I'm slowly but surely getting out of the ways, but I am involved with someone who I am considering taking a step forward with, but she is as big of a procrastinator or not as punctual as we need to be, you know, for us to progress. So my question is for you, Eric, how do I address our lack of punctuality along with procrastination without coming off as being like authoritative in a relationship, you know, because I want peace, you know. And sometimes when it comes off when you try to correct yourself or improve yourself, it can come off as being negative or being harsh.
Real clear about this, Greg. I may have even read your mind. So you're talking about moving forward with this person. You're talking about perhaps investing with this person. Perhaps you're talking about going on a picnic. No, what are you talking about? You talking about taking the big step?
I'm talking about marrying this woman.
I think I read his mind. Mm. So, but now here's the thing. And this is really critical. He's talking about procrastination, but he's also talking about tardiness.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, is there a similarity between procrastination and tardiness? And how does he fix this situation, or is it fixable? And does he just have to accept it?
No, I think awareness, like with my book, the key is awareness. you know, you really have to be aware of some of the triggers and things that can cause you to procrastinate. And being tardy can be a form of procrastination. What I found is that a lot of times we're bad at predicting how long things really take, right? Or how long it's going to take us to get to a place. And then we assume best case scenario. So if we're going somewhere, we say, you know what, it's going to take me an hour. There's not going to be any traffic. There's not going to be an accident. I'm not going to get pulled over and get a ticket. I'm not going to have to get gas. So we assume the best case scenario. So one of the things that's helped me to help people is to have them do what's called a buffer, a 50% buffer. And maybe this is something you can suggest for your fiance. So if you think your destination is going to take you an hour, add 50%. Just follow that rule. So if you think it's going to take you an hour, give yourself an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Real quick for him, if this is not a correctable issue for him, and maybe I should ask poor Greg, is this a deal breaker for you?
It's not a deal breaker, but it is a foundation hindrance for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it
does.
You know
what I mean? Like, if we want to move forward, like, this is something that we need to change, especially since we're both in positions with our profession where we demand punctuality. We demand a lack of procrastination. We demand excellence, you know?
Okay.
So what I don't want is for us to try to enforce this but not live it.
Yeah, that's right. You may end up sleeping on the sofa. Go ahead, real quick.
Yeah, so I guess my other question is she aware that you have an issue with this and this is a problem in the relationship? That would be my question for him.
Yes, I bluntly addressed it. And, you know, it's been certain situations where, like, I did the buffer. I've done the buffer before. And I feel I feel a tad bit deceitful, though, when I do it, because then it's almost like I'm trying to play my games in order to...
Okay. Well, Greg, let's see what Eric has to say. Real quick, Eric, what do you suggest that he do about this?
So, are you recognizing progress? I mean,
do you have a suggestion for him?
I would say, you know, recognize progress. You know, I think you have to continue to make, if this is an issue for you, continue to talk about it, have open communication. But if she's normally 15 minutes late, but now she's 5 minutes late, you know, start recognizing progress.
Okay.
You know, don't make it always like it's a negative thing.
Hang in there, Greg. Don't procrastinate on the ring. All right. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking tonight about procrastination. Are you a procrastinator? Perhaps you know someone who is, and it's a problem for you. Give us a call again at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nana calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm a former college graduate, and I know that my best work or my best grades were me procrastinating. Like, sometimes I wouldn't even study, and I was just really good at that. Now that I'm out of college, I understand that. In the real world, it's not really a good idea to procrastinate, because now I just feel like I have this overwhelming anxiety when I do things at the last minute. But it's like I was so used to everything being done perfectly at the last minute. I feel like most of my greatest ideas or projects were done at the last minute, but I really want to get away from that.
Okay. Suggestion?
Well, it sounds like you've taken the first step of deciding that you want to get away from that and really just kind of, you know, make sure you set a plan for yourself to start as early as you possibly can. And really understand, again, it's about awareness. You know, think about some of those things that trigger you to procrastinate. And when you become aware of it, make sure that you're taking that next step.
Oh, hang in there, Nana. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Now, you have 12 steps, so to speak, as it relates to procrastination. Before we get to the break, we probably won't be able to get to all of them, but at least give us a start. Give me the number one and the number two on this list of how to address this issue.
Well, one thing I talked about already was overcoming your fears and just really becoming aware of those things that you might be scared of. So, for example, if it's fear of failure, I suggest that you focus more on the process than you do the actual outcome. I mean, that's something to help you to overcome that fear of failure. So if you're a student and you're listening to me right now, as opposed to thinking, oh, man, I've got to get an A, focus on how many hours you're going to study each day.
Mm-hmm.
What study partners are you going to have? So focus on that process. And if you do the daily process, you'll experience success and you won't experience as much fear of failure. So the other key principle is this thing, perfectionism. And it's come up even with a couple of the calls where we feel like, oh, it's got to be perfect. You know, I've got to have all the information. And the big thing, and I express this in the book, this is so critical, is that you can't allow perfect to become the enemy of progress.
I like that.
That's so important.
You hear that, Greg?
Right, it's about progress. So again, if she was 20 minutes late, now right. She's 5 minutes late, that's progress. We just need to keep moving in the right direction.
I'm so worried about Greg right now. Hang in there, Greg. You're gonna be all right. If that's the only problem that you have with the lady, then you don't procrastinate on giving her the ring. Just go ahead and jump right in. Number three, real quick.
Saying no.
What do you mean by that, saying no?
That is so important. I've dedicated chapter 6 of the book to saying no. I think you need to make no your default answer when you're getting requests to do different things. A lot of our listeners are in different organizations, church, fraternity, sorority. And here's what happens. Success breeds opportunity, but not every opportunity is the right fit for you. So it's very easy because you get asked to chair this committee, to take on this assignment, and you end up getting bogged down with so many things that take you away from your true mission. So the key is to make no your default answer until you get more information as far as how it lines up, how the request lines up with your goals.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about procrastination, procrastinators, and the people who love them, or not so much.
Not so much.
Samuel calling from Spotsylvania County. We're going to talk to you next. Also, Fran calling from Baltimore. We're going to talk to you as well. So please do not hang up. And we're going to continue to take phone calls even after the break. If you want more information about procrastination and Eric Twiggs, you can find him on the web at Eric M, as in
Matthew Twiggs.com.
Also, that information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com in addition to this podcast after 8:30 tonight. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR, but this conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about procrastination, procrastinators, and the people who are impacted by your waiting until the last minute. My guest is Eric Twiggs. He is author of The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Samuel calling from Spotsylvania. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Most of my career jobs have been stressful jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to a menial task, that's when I find myself procrastinating. So I was wondering if it was stress related.
I mean, it's quite possible. But now there are certain personalities. I talked about this in the book. There are certain personality types that have a tendency to procrastinate on some of those menial tasks that they don't really connect to the bigger picture. So you have to ask yourself, is it something that you have to do? Just because something needs to be done doesn't mean that you necessarily have to do it. Is that something you can delegate? Is there a way to automate it so that it still gets done without you doing it?
Okay. There you go. Samuel, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Fran. Fran calling from Baltimore. Fran, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I think I fall into a few categories. For my profession, I feel like I work well under pressure, and where my actual profession, I have to be punctual. I got to be Johnny on the spot no matter what. And I'm like, I'm good. But when it comes to any and everything else, I know I got to do it. I actually sit there and my family keep giving me books, write it down. And I can't, I write it down and I push to the side and I go to the side. But when I go to work and I got to do something for someone else, it's good. I'm good. And I'm trying to figure out why can't I get this balance? And it's driving me out of my mind.
Priorities. That sounds like priorities are an issue for her.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like at work, I mean, she prioritizes and she sees importance. And I do think it's important to make sure we value people's time as well. And that's one of the things with being late and some of these other things. It really makes you see the value that, you know, other people's time has. And that's one of the dangers and hidden costs of procrastination. If people feel like we don't value their time, it ruins relationships and things of that nature.
I got books every holiday, any event, everybody giving me books, events, or calendars. I'm writing them down. I got it written down. I'm reading it. I see it. And I was like, something within me, another person just pushing it to the side. But then when it comes to something else, I'm right there on the spot.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to, if it's not related to work, and one would say related directly to her livelihood, that she's not feeling it.
I mean, so my question for her would be, is there a common thing that you're procrastinating on in your personal life, or is it just all across the board would be my question for her?
For the most part, it's almost all across the board. Like, I know I got these bills. I got this lined up. I set it all up. And this date come by, like, all right, just go ahead and write it off. Go ahead and check it off.
Real quick, another thought for her before we move forward.
Can you automate? Can you set up, like, if you mentioned bills, can you set up automatic pay? I mean, now that you're aware that this is something that's a problem for you, so set it up so you don't even have to touch it. You don't have to do it. It just happens.
There's a suggestion right there. And that's a budget show right there.
Yeah, that's a whole different.
Fran, hang in there. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Number four, Eric. What's number four?
Well, it starts with your attitude and your thought process. And here is one of the main reasons that New Year's resolutions fail. Is because you set these aggressive resolutions and you say you're going to go to the gym three nights a week and then you miss a night and then you start saying negative things to yourself. Oh, man, see, there you go. I don't stick with anything. I'm such a procrastinator. And you start beating yourself up. So you really have to focus on your attitude and what your thoughts are. And you almost have to talk to yourself as if you were talking to your best friend. And so you have to anticipate ahead. You have to factor failure into your success plan. You have to anticipate that you may miss the gym. You may miss your workout. You may miss whatever you said you were going to do. But the key is getting back up and moving forward.
Okay. Number five.
So the next thing is awareness. So we talked about attitude. We talked about awareness. So you need to be aware of your power times. And we all have times of the day when we've got more energy than others. Like, I'm a morning person. You know, if I try to do a creative project late at night, it's not going to work because that's not when my energy flows. So the key is to schedule your high priority activities during those times of day when you have the most energy.
Okay. So that is when your wife tells you to take the trash out. Take it out in the morning, not at night. There you go. Let's go with number six before I go back to the phone lines.
So the next thing, it's about animation. And it's about being aware of your energy levels and having an exercise program, you know, that there was a study, they studied like all of these wealthy entrepreneurs, and 76% of them reported that they got 30 minutes of cardio at least 3 times a week. So really making sure that you're managing your energy, you're getting enough sleep, because a lot of times it's not time management, it's energy management. And if you find, you'll find that, that you'll procrastinate more when your energy's low.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about procrastination, procrastinators, and the people who are impacted by procrastination. Let's go to Yuna. Yuna calling from what's on your mind.
Hi, thank you for this call. My problem is procrastinating. I'm glad he just talked about the weight loss. Every year I say that I'm going to get this done. I go to the gym. And then all of a sudden, I just lose the motivation, and then I just beat myself up so much. And then the same thing I did with my studies. I said, I'm going to do my master's. I'm going to finish up. And then I reach halfway, and then I'm procrastinating about the times. I'm going to finish the times. And then they just lose the focus, you know. And I don't know if it's just wasting so much time or just not prioritizing especially in the, you know, the most important things in my life.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things is making sure that you're setting, especially when you're talking about the exercise and weight loss arena, make sure you're setting sustainable goals. So like I have people that say, oh, yeah, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to run 5 miles a day. That's not sustainable if you haven't been working out in over a year. You know, say I'm going to walk for 10 minutes and then build your way up from there. So that's one key thing. And the other thing is, again, we talked about how you talk to yourself, what you say when you talk to yourself. So go easy on yourself. You know, again, factor failure into your success plan, and know that you may fall off the wagon, but the key is to make sure that you get back up and keep moving forward.
How does sticking with a plan differ from procrastination? Is there a difference between the ability to be consistent as opposed to being a procrastinator?
I think they're pretty much related. I mean, because if you're not consistent, you're putting off doing the things that you need to do on a daily basis to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yuna, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. And this is another piece, and we see all of these issues regarding New Year's resolutions. And all you have to do is just go to social media and you see that people are, like Yuna was suggesting, perhaps that she's going to try to lose weight. They're going to eat better. They are going to stay in contact with family members and the like. But today is New Year's Eve. Okay. But if you started making these resolutions last month and said on January 1st, I'm going to turn it all the way around. Are procrastinators people who wait until January instead of making the decision in October or November and just jumping on it?
Yes, that happens quite often. Like, oh man, it's a new year. This is a new opportunity for me to get started. So one of the things, as you mentioned, this thing with the new year, it's hard to maintain focus over 12 months, right? So that's one of the things I teach, is to set shorter goals, like set 12-week windows. So 12 weeks, it's long enough for you to accomplish certain things, but it's short enough where you maintain that urgency.
Before I go back to your list, something else kind of occurred to me. Some people may look at a person, particularly on the job, and say, well, that person is procrastinating, when the reality is that that person just has too much to do. They are, they are overscheduled. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the job. It could be related to family activities and responsibilities, where, and you've heard, there are only 24 hours in a day. There are only 7 days in a week. Is there a difference between someone who is overscheduled just too busy and someone who is procrastinating? Because you may see somebody who's really, really, really busy trying to get so much done, and something eventually, inevitably, will fall through the cracks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be a thing where there's too many, that we're not prioritizing.
Okay.
So there's too many things that the person feels like they have to do, and instead of focusing on what's the main thing, what's the thing that I really should be doing, what's my most important thing, and what else can I delegate, what can I automate, what can I go to my boss and talk to and say, hey, you know, I know you've asked me to do this, but I'm currently working on this project. You know, do you want me to put this project down, or do you want me to, how do you want me to handle this? Mm-hmm. You know, having those conversations as opposed to just taking on too much.
Number seven.
So the other thing is automation, as far as putting things on autopilot that you can. We touched on it a little while ago that just because something needs to be done doesn't mean you have to do it. Here's a problem that I had that nobody can do it like Eric. Right?
Okay.
I'm your type A personality. I like to make it happen. I had this perfectionism issue, so I was less likely to delegate certain things. But when I was leading people, this led me to burnout.
Okay.
I was trying to do too many things myself, as opposed to delegating, as opposed to creating different systems so that I'm freed up to really focus on the main thing.
Okay. Number seven.
So the next thing we could talk about is activity. Taking action. So what I just walked you through is it's called the procrastination prevention pyramid. It's in the second half of the book where I talked about the attitude, awareness, the animation, the automation, and then you have activity. And it's at the top of the pyramid because if you want to get to the top, you have to take action. That's really where the rubber meets the road. So that's really about committing to taking the right actions that'll move you forward. So if you're, for example, If you're looking for a job, you know, how many resumes do you need to be sending out? You know, if you're in a sales position, how many phone calls do you need to make? Really focusing on the specific daily actions that you need to take to move forward. Because you have limited control over the outcome. But you have 100% control over what you do every day.
You mentioned something about you being, you know, type A person. I am a do it now person. And the reason I have to do it now is because if I don't do it now, I'm going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a buffer to procrastination? Or is that some other kind of disease that I have?
No, I think that's excellent, actually. Because so again, it goes back to awareness. You know yourself. You know if you say, hey, I'm going to do this later, it's not going to get done. So, I mean, I think that's good advice for our listeners. I mean, especially if there's something that takes minimal time. A lot of times it's easier just to stop. I mean, I would say if it takes, especially if it's something that's 2 minutes or less that you can just do and knock out.
But what if you don't know how long it's going to take? But it's a new task,
mm-hmm.
whether the boss gives you this assignment or a thing comes up,
mm-hmm.
where you may know that, let's say, if something comes up with your children, that while it may be important, you know that you don't necessarily have to do it today,
mm-hmm.
and that you probably will do it tomorrow. But for me, if I don't do it right now, I know that something else is going to come up. It's going to distract me and it's going to get in the way. And then I'm going to forget. And then on the third day, I turn around and I start cussing because then I forgot about something that I was supposed to do that I knew I could have gotten it done right away.
Well, I think here's the key thing. I think that a good habit to get into is setting the following day's priorities the day before, right? So you kind of have in your mind when you go into the day, what are your key priorities? And then out of that, picking what's the one thing, what's the most important thing that you need to do for that day to be successful based on the priorities that you set. And then you can, that makes your decision making much easier as far as which things you can, okay, I can knock this out right now based off of my main priorities, or no, my main, this is so important, I need to focus on my main priority and then get back to that. So I think if you start your day with an agenda, it makes those decisions much easier. And here's what something I always say, that clarity is the starting point of success. So when you really get clear on your priorities, it makes it much easier to decide what to do right now and what you can put off to a later time. Because you can't do everything.
Right. And I'm specifically talking about things that come up.
Mm-hmm.
So, things that last minute things that may or may not be able to be put off, or I would say things that can be put off for a little while. But for me, if I don't do it right now, it will be problematic if I don't take care of it right away.
Okay.
So, number nine.
Well, I mean, we've pretty much gone through all the different steps to overcoming, the main steps to overcoming procrastination.
So what makes you an expert on
so here's the thing. So I've had over 28,000 coaching sessions with executives and entrepreneurs. And so what I've found, this is kind of giving me I've observed you have two types of people, right? So you have that person that they get good results, right? Then you have that person that gets great results. So here's what I find, that in most cases, they have a similar level of know-how. They know a lot of the same things. So what I noticed is that the difference between the good and the great is that the great, they just have this uncanny ability to do those things they need to do, whether they feel like it or not. And so as I've noticed that, you know, through my coaching sessions, through my background supervising 500 or more people, it forced me to dig deeper. And that's really how I came up with the principles for the discipline of now.
What kind of jobs, careers, or people are best at avoiding procrastination? Because one of the things that that comes to mind are people who are in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly when you may be going through basic training or boot camp, everything is do it. Not only now, but do it 5 minutes ago. There is no procrastination.
Right.
The only plan may be the plan that comes up in the morning that will be executed at the very latest 2 or 3 hours or 4 or 5 hours later. But there's no plan for tomorrow because you have to do it now. Are there also other kinds of jobs that allow or really kind of promote that way of thinking?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think a lot of times the high level leadership positions where you're really held accountable for results, you know, you don't really have time to procrastinate because there's a certain result that you need to get. And if you're a high level sales leader, you know, you're held accountable for the bottom line. So your people need to make a certain number of calls. They need to do certain specific things and you have to hold them accountable. You know, there's certain reports, there's certain deadlines that you have to meet. You know, my background, I was a district manager in automotive service, and it was just all kinds of pressure to perform.
And get it done now.
Right, yeah. Right. So I couldn't tell my boss, oh, no, I didn't get around to it.
We've spoken a lot about careers, but let's talk a little bit more about families. And you know, and as I said earlier, I'm really concerned about Greg. Greg, I know you're listening. Hang in there, buddy, like I said. But what impact might this have on relationships? You mentioned that your wife is listening. I'm assuming she's not a procrastinator.
No. Now, Angie is not a procrastinator.
Okay, so how does that kind of thing work in a marriage when you have two people who are get it done now or two people who are perhaps procrastinators? I guess that's a match made in heaven.
Well, again, I think communication is the key, and you have to have the open dialogue. I think it just helps to find a way to meet in the middle. And so, like I can say, for example, you know, especially earlier in our marriage, you know, sometimes if we're going to an event, you know, she would take her time to get ready and, You know, I'm like, man, we need to be here early. And she's thinking, oh, you know, I've got to make sure I'm all ready and set to go. And so sometimes for me, that would cause some friction. Because I'm like, no, we need to, come on, we need to get here. We need to get here. So, I mean, over time, we've communicated and we've met in the middle. And if she feels like I'm procrastinating on a household task, I mean, we talk about it.
So let's talk about that for just a moment. Okay. So, and we're going to go back to taking out the trash. If she asks you to take out the trash at 10 o'clock in the morning and at 11, it is not done. She asks you again, and by noon, it is not done. Is it okay for her to do it herself?
I would say no.
Okay, why not?
Because, if she does it herself, then that, who knows, in a relationship, that could send the other partner the message that, okay, all I have to do is pretend like I was too busy to do it, and she's just going to do it. I think you have to address it. You have to, if that's an issue with you, I think there needs to be that dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the thing. So when the trash is out, is gone at noon, and then at 12:30, you go over to the trash can and you realize, oh, she has taken it out. Then, and this is not so much about an Eric and Angie thing. And I know this is, you're not, you know, a relationship expert, but once you see that the trash is, that she has done the job that she has gently and lovingly asked you to do, and you realize that you have, to put it lightly, fallen short, then do you look at the empty trash can now and say, oh, I failed? Or do you look at the trash can and say, oh, whew, one more thing I don't have to do? And what impact does that have on relationships if nobody is having that conversation?
Well, what happens is the tension builds up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I the man can think, okay, well, hey, it got done. I'm going to move on to the next thing. And then if the conversation never happens, it becomes a bigger blow up because the other person starts getting fed up. I told you to take the trash out. What part of taking the trash out are you missing?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, having that conversation.
Yeah. And then who do you think you're talking to? Well, no, I'm just kidding. Why don't take that tone with me? You know, yeah, I understand. But is there a time when procrastination isn't really procrastination, but it is really thoughtful delay or planning?
Yes, absolutely.
Now talk to me about that.
Right, because sometimes it's not the season for you to do something. Like, for example, if you're going to start, you're working full time, it might not be the best decision to jump out and just start a full-time business without doing any type of research, without setting up a business plan, without doing any type of market analysis. So just because you're not jumping out there and starting a business and leaving your job, that doesn't mean that you're procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing research. That's taking the time to plan and prepare.
No, and I'm not trying to be funny at all, but I do want to go back to Greg one more time because you just said something that really struck me. If this issue about his potential fiance, if this issue about her procrastinating is problematic, even as he discusses it, is he also about the business or process of doing research and as it relates to how this could be going forward? Like you said, there is progress, no longer 20 minutes late, but 5 minutes late. And maybe he has to sit back and say, okay, this is something that I can deal with.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to pick your battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can only speak from a relationship standpoint. I can speak from my perspective. And I've just found it helpful to, you know, if there's something that my wife is talking to me about all the time, for that, and there's been a few things.
Oh my.
That's another show.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble
that.
Yeah.
But if it's an issue for her, even sometimes I can't see it, but it's an issue. So I try to meet her somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I may never see her full point of view, But I try to meet her somewhere in the middle, and we try to come to an understanding. So over time, it's much better.
Worst thing about procrastination from your perspective?
The worst thing is that it's a silent killer because you get away with it, right? So, and that's why so many people say, oh, I work better under pressure. Why? Because, for example, you do a presentation and you wait till the last minute. You go up there. People afterwards tell you, oh, man, that was great. So you tell yourself, hey, I work better under pressure. I don't need to prepare. But again, it's going to be better if you take the time to do your research. If you allow your ideas time to incubate and develop, your presentation is going to be a lot better. So you don't realize the impact that you're having. And so, and there's always that person, every organization that I've been around, there's always that one person who's always late for everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you say the meeting starts at 9, they get there at 9:15. And they're coming in disheveled. But that's their brand, that they're the late person. And I've never heard senior level executives say, hey, let's promote Gary in accounting who's always late.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary has no idea that this is really hurting him.
Best thing about procrastinating, if there is a best thing.
The best thing about procrastinating, again, I think if you are taking the time to not do, you know, if you consider seasons. Right. So if you're doing the right things in the right season, I think that's helpful. That's when it's a good thing. If you're taking into account that, hey, you know what? I could do this right now. But right now, this isn't the season for me to take this next step.
Mm-hmm.
So you delay from that standpoint. That can be good.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing all of this with us. And I hope that we have helped someone. But certainly, I guess, you know, get her done. Do it now. If it's the season to do it, if it's the time to do it. And the reality is, Eric, if you don't take out the trash, it's going to smell.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. That's right. Eric Twiggs, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you, as always,
information about Eric and his book will be on our website on WHUR.com, as well as this conversation in the form of a podcast after 8:30. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Monday, December 30th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.